going to look at Luke chapter 18, and we're going to go along with the same theme that we have been going along with the last several Sundays here. We're going to talk about a story here, a Bible character here that we find in Luke chapter number 18 that displays perseverance. We went through the Bible character of Jeremiah, and we talked about Jeremiah's suffering that he faced, and yet his persistence to persevere through all of that. And then we talked about Esther in Esther chapter 4, where Esther had a decision to make to go into the king, and her decision to persevere and to go before the king, and he held out his golden scepter for the saving of the Jewish people. And then this morning, we preached a message from the book of Job, and we talked about Job's persistence in the midst of much suffering that Job went through, and yet he retained his integrity, and he remained faithful to the Lord, and he put his trust in the Lord in the most difficult and challenging times in his life. And then we got to see the final victory in his life, didn't he? Where God was able to give him twice what he had at the very beginning of the story that we read in Job. And then the strengthening of his faith as well. We want to look at a parable that's given to us here in Luke chapter number 18 of a Bible character who displayed perseverance through this parable that is told to us, or this story that Jesus tells to us as a wonderful pattern and a wonderful picture for us in our lives. And so we want to look at Luke chapter number 18. And this parable is going to remind us of something tonight. And I hope it will challenge you. I hope it will be an encouragement to you as we read through these verses. It's going to be a reminder that Jesus called his people to be faithful. And as he calls us to be faithful, he calls us not to faint in times of difficulty. In times where things maybe perhaps do not seem to be going our way, he calls us to be faithful. And he desires that we faint not. And so look at what the Bible says in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 18. And it says this, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." He says that men ought always to pray. Now when it uses that word men, it doesn't of course literally mean that men are the only ones who are to pray. Of course it's talking about all of us as Christians. We ought always, it says, to pray and not to faint. Now, we're going to get to the central point of this parable here in just a minute, but I want us to notice some key words here already in verse number 1. It says that men ought. This is something that we should do. This is something that Jesus in this parable is encouraging us to do. It's something as Christians we ought to do. We ought, and then notice the next word, always to pray. Men ought always to pray. It reminds us of the great privilege that we have of praying and talking to the Lord. And when we do bring our prayers to the Lord, it brings to us the provision that the Savior has promised for us. And His provision really can be really described to us in several different ways. His provision is needs that He provides for us, but it's also help that He gives us as well. In time when we need His help. So when we pray, and we're always praying, and we're persistent in our prayers, and we're consistent with what we do in our prayer, it brings to us the provision of the Savior. But here's another great truth about our time in prayer. It doesn't just bring the provision of the Savior, as He provides for us our needs that we have, and gives us the help that we have, but it also provides for us the power of the Spirit. So not just the provision from the Savior, but also the power from the Holy Spirit. God desires to give us power to do His work in our lives. Don't attempt to do something without God's power. Don't attempt to do something without God's Holy Spirit's power. And so we pray for God's power to sustain us and to help us in our time of service for Him. But not only does our prayer time bring the provision of the Savior and it gives to us the power of the Spirit, but it also, and this is reminded to us at the end of verse number 1, it also prevents us from spiritually fainting. It prevents us from spiritually fainting. So as we pray, we have the provision of the Savior, and then we have the power of the Holy Spirit as we're praying and we're talking to the Lord and asking Him for these things. But it also prevents us from being a Christian who is spiritually fainting. notice the Bible says this, that men ought always to pray, and notice it says, and not to faint. And so it helps to prevent spiritual fainting in our life. But I want us, before we get into the main part of this parable, I want us to notice the central point of this parable. Jesus is reminding those who he speaks to, we're reminded by this as we read it tonight, the thought of being persistent in our prayer. Being persistent in our prayer in the midst of times of trouble and in the midst of times where things are going well also. Remember, we said that of Job today, didn't we? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return thither, he says. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, Job said. Remember, he even said to his wife, should we be able to have the blessings of God and not have moments of trouble as well? We're going to praise him, and we're going to go to him and pray and talk to him and worship him in good times. But we also pray and we're persistent in our prayer time in the midst of trouble as well. But then another reminder we have as far as the persistence of our prayer is to be persistent in our prayer even when our prayers seem to go unanswered. Have you ever had a time in which you've prayed for something and it just seems like you're earnestly praying for it over and over and over again, and yet it seems as if it's going unanswered? Well, God's hearing us, isn't he? And he wants to hear our prayers. And he wants you to be persistent in your prayers. And he gives us that encouragement in verse number 1. We ought always to pray and not to faint. So the reminders that we have in being persistent in our prayer is to pray in all times. Pray in the good times. Pray in the midst of the troubled times. Pray when you feel like the prayer is not even being answered. So here's the thought that Jesus would have us to get from this parable. Never give up when it comes to your prayer. Be persistent in those prayers that you bring to the Lord. Let's notice the characters that are found in this parable. First, we have the unjust judge. We have the unjust judge in verse number 2. The Bible says this, saying, so Jesus is now speaking in this parable, and he's saying, there was in a city a judge. Notice the description of this judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. So the description is given of this judge that he didn't care for God. He had no care. He had no concern. He cared nothing for God. But then the Bible goes on to say not only did he not have a concern or not have a care for God, but at the end of the verse it also says neither regarded man. So he didn't care about God. He had no concern for God. And he also had no concern for others as well. Can I say this? A disrespect for God often leads to a disrespect for others as well. And that's exactly what we see in this unjust judge. He had a disrespect for God, and it led him to have a disrespect for others that he was around as well. A wrong attitude towards God ultimately leads to a wrong attitude towards others, doesn't it? And that's exactly what we see in this judge. He cares not for God. He cares nothing for God. He has no care and concern for God. And so therefore, he's having no care or concern for others as well, those who are his fellow man. So if we were to take those two things and we were to put those two things together, how much then would we say this judge really would care about justice then? If he didn't care for God and he cared nothing about God and he cared nothing for the needs of others, how much would this judge truly really care about justice then? That's why we would refer to him as the unjust judge in this passage. The only thing this judge cared for was for his own prestige. But then we get to the other character in this parable. We get to the widow. Notice what the Bible says about this widow in verse number 3. And it says, and there was a widow in that city. So in this particular city that Jesus is speaking of in this parable, by way of this parable, he talks about this unjust judge in the city. He gives us a description of him, and then he talks to us about the widow. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him. Who did she come to? She came to the unjust judge. And she said something to him, the Bible says in verse number 3, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So we see two things in verse number 3. We see, number 1, the problem that she had, but we also see her request. Here was the problem of this widow. Not only was she a widow, which meant that because she was without a husband, she didn't have the husband to have that leadership role and to be able to provide and protect and care for her. And she was a widow, but we also see another problem that she had. She had no one to represent her, no one to defend her, no one to hear her, no one to deliver her against her adversary. Can I say this about widows? Matter of fact, we're going to look up a verse here in just a moment. If you want to find your way there, we're going to look up James chapter 1, and I want us to read verse number 27. I think this is going to be a familiar verse to you as we read through this. James chapter 1 and verse number 27. But throughout Scripture, there is a special place in the heart of God for widows. Widows have been put in a place in which they need help, don't they? And they have been put in a place in which they become many times vulnerable in this world. Notice what the Bible says about the care for widows in James chapter 1 and verse number 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. He says this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Throughout Scripture, we see God's heart for widows, don't we? We see the heart that he has for those that need help. This widow had been wronged unjustly. She had been treated unjustly. She was suffering. And her only hope was to find justice through this judge, or justice through the hands of the court. Now, there's something that would be true of judges as we read this passage of Scripture here in the book of Luke. Judges in that time were supposed to show special attention to a lady that was a widow. That was their job. That was their duty, to show special attention to those who were widows. Widows had, again, gotten themselves, or they had been put in a position in which they were defenseless. And typically in that time, they were very poor. Typically in that time, they were could be oppressed by those who were in positions of power. And so judges were to get to a place in which they were to show special attention to a widow and try to help them. We don't see that in this unjust judge, do we? He cares nothing for God, and he cares nothing for the concerns of others. Well, the Bible tells us that this widow has a problem, but it also tells us that she gives a request, doesn't she? You'll notice at the end of verse number 4, the Bible says, the end of verse number 3, she says, avenge me of mine adversary. She's asking help from this judge. Well, the Bible says in verse number 4, it gives us a response from this unjust judge. Now notice what it says in verse 4. It says, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. The Bible says in verse number 4 that for a while he refused this widow's request. She's asking him for help. She's coming to the source in which she feels like she has some hope, she could get some help from, and the Bible tells us that for a while he refuses. Now, could we say this about the judge? I believe this would be very accurate. He had the power and he had the authority to help her, didn't he? He had the ability to meet the need that this widow had. He had the power, he had the authority to do it. But the Bible tells us that he brushed her off. He didn't care, just like we read to the verse that described him. He didn't care anything for God. He didn't have any regard or concern for others, and so he brushed her off. He didn't care for her. He just wanted to be left alone. But the Bible tells us, and we read it there in verse number 5, we read part of that verse, this widow would not quit, would she? Now, we read in verse number 1 of the central point or the central thought that's given in this parable. Remember the persistence that we're to have in prayer. And remember what it says at the end of verse number 1. It says we're to pray always and not to faint. This widow lady refused to faint. She refused to quit. She refused to give up. She came again and again. She was overly persistent. As a matter of fact, if we would go back up to verse number 3, there's something I want you to notice in verse number 3. It says, and there was a widow in that city. And notice the next 5 words. And she came unto him. Now that little phrase that's found in the middle of verse number 3 does not mean she came one time and stopped. It shows a picture in verse number 3 of a continual coming. As a matter of fact, the unjust judge even describes the way she comes to him at the end of verse number 5. Notice how he describes the way in which this widow has come to him. It says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her, notice the next 2 words, continual coming. It was a continual thing. It wasn't just one visit to this unjust judge. She continually came and continually visited him. We could say a phrase about this widow that we say sometimes in our world today. She just would not take no for an answer. She wouldn't quit. She wouldn't give up. And so here's this widow, and she keeps beating on the door. And she keeps beating on the door. And she's asking this unjust judge to avenge her of her adversary. The Bible tells us in verse number 5, as she's beating on the door, and she's knocking on the door, she's not receiving the answer that she wants from the unjust judge, but she does not quit until finally. The Bible tells us the unjust judge decides to meet the need that she has. Now, can I say this about the unjust judge? We don't read this passage and assume it's because he truly cared for her. It wasn't as if he was avenging her of her adversary because he cared for her, but he wanted to help her more out of convenience. If I help her, she'll stop bothering me. She'll get to the point where she leaves me alone. His thoughts were, perhaps she's wearying me. She's gotten herself to the place where I've gotten tired of it. So he was thinking to himself, well, I'll hear her out and I'll help her, and maybe she'll stop banging on the door. Maybe she'll quit. Well, that's where we get to the application of the parable that's going to bring all this home for us tonight, and hopefully an application that can encourage you as a Christian. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6 after we've seen the description of these two characters. We've seen the command that God gives to us in verse number 1 that we ought always to pray and not to faint, to be persistent in our prayer. We've seen the character of the unjust judge and the character of the widow. We've seen her problem and her request. We've seen how she wearied the judge until he avenged her of her adversary. And then the application. Notice what it says in verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Here's what Jesus is saying in verse number 6. He's saying, listen up. Listen up. I want you to hear what this unjust judge says. This judge is able to reveal to us some vital truths about the importance of persistence and the importance of prayer. Let's put those two things together. The importance of persistent prayer. The importance of persistence in going to the Lord and asking Him to meet our needs. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7, and we'll read through the very beginning of verse number 8. It says, and shall not God... All right, I want you to listen up. I want you to hear what the unjust judge says. And then he says, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Here's what we read in verse number 7. If that judge, who is an unjust judge, answered the pleas of the widow, don't you think that God is able to answer the pleas of His own children? Would it not be true that when we persistently go to the Lord in prayer, if the unjust judge is able to hear the pleas of this widow, we serve a God who is able to hear the pleas of His children. Now, I was in a way of application or in a way of illustration reminded of this when I was on the way to church tonight. I was in the vehicle driving to church, and I'm listening as Joella is calling for me. And here's how Joella calls for me typically. Daddy, 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 daddy. She does not give you much time to respond. And speedily. God is going to answer us. And he's going to answer us swiftly. Now, I wanted to pause here just a moment to say something that I would want us to understand, that we don't want to make sure that we misunderstand when we hear God say he's going to answer us and he's going to answer us swiftly. There are some times in which we would say that God does delay in his answers, doesn't he? As a matter of fact, we even said at the very beginning of the message, there's times in which you might be praying to the Lord a certain request, and you say, it seems like it's going unanswered. And there are some times in which we will say that God does delay his answers. As a matter of fact, we sing a song. I've brought it up a lot in messages when I've been talking about prayer. The song talks about how that God sometimes says yes when we pray. Sometimes he answers no when we pray. But there's a third verse that we always sing, and it says the words, sometimes God says, wait when we pray. I love the end of that verse. It says, sometimes God says, wait, but his answer's never late. God's answers are always right on time. Now, they might not be right on time for us. We may want them answered a little bit more speedily. But God says he is going to be able to hear the cries of his children because he loves them. But if we would go back to this thought that we just brought up about the fact that the Lord sometimes delays in his answers, that is the very thing that can sometimes become problems for Christians. They don't want to wait. We don't want to be patient. And so we'll give up on our prayer instead of being persistent in our prayer because God hasn't answered yet. God's continuing to say, wait. So that leads us to think, what are some reasons why God would then say wait? What are some reasons why God would delay in his answers to us? I believe sometimes God cannot answer our request because he is waiting for us to repent. He's waiting for us to get things right with him. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Our fellowship sometimes can be hindered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's giving us time to get right. He gives us the answer in how, with how we can get right. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to hear us and forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can take care of our sins. We can be made right with the Lord. And so sometimes our prayers perhaps are delayed or the answers are delayed because he's giving us time to get right. Maybe perhaps it's the fact that he's trying to strengthen our faith and perhaps even trying to strengthen our patience. Is there anyone here tonight, don't raise a hand now, but is there anyone tonight that would say you feel like from time to time your patience can be strengthened? You could work on that? You could become a little bit more patient? Perhaps God, when he delays in our prayer time, he's trying to strengthen our faith. He's trying to strengthen our patience and to help us a little bit with our patience. Think about what we said this morning about Job. Remember Job, he learned a great lesson in faith, didn't he? And what we said about Job's faith is that Job's faith was strengthened. Remember the devil said to him, Satan said to God, if you take out off that hedge and you take away all these blessings that you have given him, all these things that you provided for him, he'll curse you to your face. But he retained his integrity, didn't he? And then remember, we went to chapter 2 and we saw that he still retained his integrity. He did not curse God. He did not charge God foolishly. And he did not even sin, the Bible says, in his words and in his deeds. His faith was being strengthened as God put him through those tests. And at times it could be perhaps that God's delaying in an answer to strengthen your faith, to see how much you're going to trust him, to see how much you're going to be persistent and patient in the way that you ask the Lord for these needs that you have. The Bible says in Psalm 27 and verse number 14, it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he says at the end of the verse, wait, I say, on the Lord. He reminds us in that verse two times to wait, doesn't he? He says it at the start of the verse, and he says it at the end of the verse as well. Oh, how impatient we can get sometimes. Oh, how we struggle with that at times. Let God strengthen your patience, and perhaps he's doing that when he delays in his answers to your request. But then perhaps it's just simply God's timing being right in our lives. God knows the right timing for us, doesn't he? He knows that perhaps maybe something we're asking for is not exactly the time we need it. He hasn't said no. He doesn't necessarily want to take it away from us, but he's saying wait, because that timing is not what it should be right now in your life. So don't look at God's delays as not answering your prayer, but simply as a way perhaps to strengthen your faith and to have the right timing in your life to be able to meet the need that you're asking for. But let the Lord help us to understand that he does hear the cries of those who are his children. And he's able to answer those cries. And he's able to answer them in a swift way. Notice what the Bible says that Jesus will do for us, God will do for us in the beginning of verse number 7 again. We read it. It says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" Is God not able to take care of those who are his own? In God's unique way, he has a way of dealing with the afflictions that we face. And can we add to that those who at times afflict us as well? The Bible talks to us in Romans chapter 12 that vengeance, God says, is mine. I will repay. Vengeance ought not be on the agenda of a Christian, but instead God gives us the promise that he has a way in dealing with those who afflict us as a Christian. God will answer the cries of those who are his. God gives us a promise that he will right every wrong that his people experience. Leave it in God's hands. He's able to hear the cries of those who are his children, and he's able to meet their needs. But let's notice one thought. We've been talking a little bit about faith today, haven't we? We talked about Job's faith. We want to see what's mentioned at the end of verse number 8 about faith. Notice what it says at the end of verse number 8 now. We read verse 8, the very beginning. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." But then notice the end of the verse. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Now, there's a word that we have to remember in this verse. The Son of Man is coming, isn't he? Now, there's a key word here. It says when. It doesn't say if the Son of Man's coming. We know he is coming, isn't he? So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Let that be a challenge to us today as we finish the day. May it be said of us as Christians that we would have faith and persistence like this widow had. What an example she leaves for us of the persistence of prayer. May we be victorious in our Christian lives. And may we be persistent when it comes to our dedication to the Lord and our obedience to the Lord and our prayer time with the Lord. May we be persistent with those things. While God is working on our behalf in ways that only he understands, may it be said of us as his followers, as his children, that we are trusting him and that we are persistent in our faith while he works on our behalf. Let's claim the promises that God gives us in his word. There's a wonderful promise that he gives us in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. You remember that one? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Let's claim the promise that God gives there in Jeremiah 33, 3. Let's call unto him. Let's be persistent in our prayer and be victorious when it comes to our obedience and our prayer, our walk with the Lord. And let's claim the promises that he gives. When we call unto him, he is going to hear us and he's going to answer. And he'll be able to show us great and mighty things that we know not. We're talking this year about pressing on. Let's have perseverance. Let's be persistent. And the subject tonight that we deal with is the persistence in our prayer time. Father, I thank you for the truths that we find here in Luke chapter number 18. Lord, as we draw this message to a close, we'll have just a moment.